This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
If you listen to our episodes on the Baltimore Sports Free For All every week, you'll notice this week there seems to be a theme, so to speak. We mentioned the Maryland Terrapins football team, how last year they didn't start off so good, but this year they're starting off so good. Well, the Baltimore Ravens, Ray, last year were 0-2 to start the year in games that they probably should have won. This year, they are 2-0 in games that they could have lost.
Well, could have lost, and especially could have been blown out with that Cleveland game because they were down 20-2 after the first quarter, and people were already tuning it out. You're seeing the bevy of social media couch GMs going, oh yeah, fire Harbaugh, fire Flacco, good grief, all of this. Oh, our offense is terrible, it's anemic, and no expectations for the Ravens. Yeah, we expect this team to go 8-8, but a 2-0 start is not too shabby one for the Baltimore Ravens, and a lot better prognosis than what it was last year. Though they do have the flaws, they do have some things that you have to look at. The running game is definitely not up to par. Although I do got to give kudos to Justin Forsett and Justin Tucker this past week for paying everyone's tolls at the Fort McHenry Toll Plaza.
Were you one of the lucky recipients of the said toll plaza?
No, I wasn't, because I have no reason to take it.
Ah, that is very true. Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe one day you'll get lucky and have to make your way up the toll plaza. We shall see. In the meantime, though, talking about the game and the events that unfolded in that said game, primarily in the first quarter of that game. All right, let's, before talking about the 25-20 victory, we'll start with the first quarter. 20-2. The Cleveland Browns led the Baltimore Ravens 20-2 in the most unusual way. I'll put it to you this way, in terms of figuratively. The Ravens, figuratively, in the first quarter, were not only sucker-punched, they were gut-punched, and they got swept right under their leg and fell flat on their back in the first quarter.
As not Ray Lewis, Andre Boyd would say, smacked him in the mouth.
Yeah, got quickly smacked in the mouth against Josh McCown, against Isaiah Crowell, against the defense, so to speak, especially Joe Hayden. I mean, geez. You talk about defensive players that just seem to give Joe Flacco nightmares, even on good days. Joe Hayden has to be one of those guys. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has been to the Pro Bowl two of the last 3 years, especially on a bad Browns team. Kind of makes you think that he's probably waiting for his time to be over in Cleveland, because by the time that ends, he may go elsewhere. I mean, that's how good Joe Hayden is of a cornerback in the National Football League. But yes, the Baltimore Ravens did end up winning 25-20. Here are the keys to the game as far as the stats are concerned. In the first down battle, the Baltimore Ravens won 22-17. In total yards, the Browns won 387 to Ravens 382. In the passing game, Ravens won 302 to 242. Rushing, 145 to 80 to Browns. In penalties, the Ravens had 4 penalties for 29 yards. The Browns, Ray, had 8 penalties for 59 yards. In the turnover battle, both teams were even at 2. And then, of course, in time of possession, the Ravens were just 1 minute better, almost 2 minutes better than the Cleveland Browns.
And a lot of that was made up after the fact of that first quarter, which was absolutely abysmal. I mean, good grief. If this wasn't the Cleveland Browns that the Baltimore Ravens were going up against, it would probably have remained the same.
Yeah, and as you look at the scoring plays in the first quarter, of course, you had Corey Coleman, who caught a 31-yard pass from Josh McCown. And that's the crazy thing about Josh McCown, too. When he has great protection and he's healthy and his arm is up to snuff, the guy looks like a Pro Bowler when he plays against the Ravens. I don't know what it is, but he seems to find those hints of magic that he had when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple seasons ago. Isaiah Crowell had an 85-yard rushing touchdown when there were 6 minutes and 47 seconds left in the first quarter. And then Corey Coleman caught another touchdown pass from Josh McCown. So, the 2 points, though, Ray, were on a 2-point conversion. Well, actually not a 2-point conversion. It was pretty much a botched point after.
Yeah, it was a botched extra point that the Ravens returned for 2 points of their own, which is a new rule they instituted last year, which is actually a pretty good rule. But it just makes you wonder and think to themselves, like, huh, If this was 2 years ago, the Ravens would have been shut out in that first quarter. Maybe the 2 points were the difference, Josh. Maybe the 2 points were a momentum swinger for the Baltimore Ravens. That's something that maybe the rule change could have had an unintended consequence for, is a return and better momentum now for the Ravens. And it was just a sight to behold with this game. You see a familiar sight with Robert Griffin III being on the sidelines in like a sling or a cast or whatever he happens to be wearing off of his bionic body that he seems to be sporting nowadays. Can't seem to stay healthy.
Yeah, he can't seem to stay healthy, but I'll give Josh McCown this. He is tough, unlike some quarterbacks starting in the National Football League. Jay Cutler. That was a horrible Monday Night Football game. So
he's not out for the season, though. The prognosis is he'll be back.
He'll be back, and surely the Bears will be suffering because of that. So, yeah.
Wow, such Jay Cutler hate on this podcast.
I'm not a Jay Cutler fan. I'm sorry. He's let me down over the years in fantasy football. So there you go. Yep, it just got real here.
Nobody cares about your fantasy football team, Josh.
I know, Ray. I know. And nobody cares about your opinion on wins and losses in baseball either. So
some people do.
Some do.
It has more relevance to a conversation and a topic.
But you have to admit this. There are some stats that matter and some that don't when it comes to starting quarterbacks. Passing yards, yep, a quarterback can have 4,200 passing yards, and it looks good, but that doesn't mean they're a good quarterback.
Now, 4,200 passing yards, but how many
how many wins? What about wins, though, for starting quarterbacks?
How many pass interference yards? That isn't kept as a stat.
Yeah, that's never going to be a stat.
That should be a stat.
I think it should be.
As often as it's called, it should definitely be a stat.
It's added on to the penalty yardage, of course, but it's not added to players. It's not the woulda, coulda, shoulda stats.
I mean, how often does Flacco go deep? You want to know how often he goes deep and somebody interferes with his receiver that could have made the catch or maybe got breathed on.
Well, very much so. Speaking of one Joseph Vincent Flacco, who just had an abysmal first half and in the second half sort of picked it up, so to speak, went 25 for 45, had 302 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, both were by cornerback Joe Hayden, and ended up having a 72.6 QB rating. As far as the Ravens running game goes, Terrence West had 11 carries for 42 yards, averaged 3.8 yards a carry. Justin Forsett, 14 carries, 37 yards, 2.6 yards per carry. And neither running back had a rush no longer than 11 yards. And when you look at it this way, before we get to the passing stats, because they look more nice on paper than the running stats do, is it me or maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse here when it comes to the Ravens running game, but does the Ravens running attack look too predictable this early in the season?
It does. And you were thinking to yourself, does Justin Forsett actually have something to prove here, being cut in the preseason and then signed for lesser money? Do you think that this guy had something out for him to prove, or maybe he was just running on the coattails of the whole Ray Rice saga and got himself a shot? It's up to him to be able to step it up, because right now it doesn't really look too good for the running game. The passing game, you're looking at how diverse Flacco is with his receivers. Kamar Aiken came out and said that he's not getting the ball enough, so that's something to also look at.
That could be a good thing, though, if you have a receiver who was your leading receiver last year just coming out and saying, hey, man, where's the ball? I'm not getting the ball. Well, we have Mike Wallace, we have Steve Smith, we have Rashard Perriman. Yeah, man, but I'm not getting the ball.
Now, there's somebody who's really, really stepped up to be a sleeper pick for everybody, and that's Mike Wallace. So the guy, once again, went off in this game, and anybody who dropped him in their leagues, they look stupid now.
Yep, and speaking of the Ravens' receiving attack, Mike Wallace had 2 lone passing or receiving touchdowns for the Baltimore Ravens, 4 catches, 41 yards. Steve Smith Sr. actually had a better game than last week when they played the Bills. He had 3 catches for 64 yards against the Cleveland Browns, had a long catch of 31 yards. But here was the key stat, though, Ray. Number 88, starting tight end Dennis Pitta, 9 catches, 102 yards. And guess what? He got up and off the field healthy. No injuries reported.
Goat. Goat status right there for one. For one Dennis Pitta, Mr. Bionic Hip.
Two bionic hips at 31 years of age, too. I mean, it's not like we're talking about Tony Gonzalez or Shannon Sharp, or if I had to go in a journeyman status, Chad Lewis, if any Philadelphia Eagles fans that listen to our podcast know who he was. But yeah, Dennis Pitta actually putting up the numbers early and often so far in this season. And it goes to show you how much the chemistry was missed between Flacco and Pitta, because in the earlier years, or at least in the early stages of their careers, Dennis Pitta was Joe Flacco's go-to guy. When Joe Flacco didn't see Anquan Boldin or Torrey Smith open, or even Derek Mason, so to speak, in the early part of his career, he saw Dennis Pitta, and he would try to get it. He would try to get the ball to him as much as possible, and more so to Pitta than Ed Dixon, because you had to remember that was a dual tight end attack there that the Baltimore Ravens had at that time. But to see Dennis Pitta at this stage in his career, going through the injuries he went through, you got to remember, Ray, about two months ago, we were about 80% sure that Dennis Pitta was getting written off by the Ravens roster.
We were pretty sure that he was also retiring, pretty much.
Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about Justin Forsett. Does he have something to prove? Dennis Pitta, not only does he have something to prove, he's proven it right now. He's like, hey, I may have two bionic hips, but I can still get past any defensive back and linebacker. I can still go.
9 catches for over 100 yards. He definitely proved his point right there for the Baltimore Ravens. The defense, that's something that we should get to as well, because that first quarter defense, what were they doing?
Yeah, looking at the defensive stats, we mentioned that the Cleveland Browns had close to 400 yards of total offense. When you key in Josh McCown's 242 passing yards and you key in the 145 yards that were on the ground by Crowell, Johnson Jr., and McCown himself. Yeah, I mean, these are certainly stats that we have to look at and say, well, yeah, the Ravens still only allowed 20 points and they only allowed 380 yards, but they still won the game. Well, that is true. But you got to remember, Dean Pease and that defense can't afford to have a start like that, especially against any other team. They're lucky it was against the Cleveland Browns, because let's face it, Ray, if it was against any other team, it would have been written off as a loss.
Yep. Earlier I said that. And as of course, you give yourself that big of a hole, it's really hard to climb yourself out of, because we saw it last year. If you get yourself in that giant of a hole, you can't dig yourself out of it. The Baltimore Ravens' first losing season under John Harbaugh in the Joe Flacco era, because they started their season off with an offer, and giving yourself that big of a hole early on does not help that situation. And you're 2-0. You're right now looked at as one of the most least respected 2-0 teams in the NFL. And you got something to prove next week against Jacksonville.
Yep, and one quick stat, and this is special teams-wise, because special teams played a huge role in this game. Sam Cook had 3 punts for 141 yards, averaged 47 yards a punt, and had 2 punts inside the 20-yard line. Devin Hester had 2 kick returns and averaged 40 yards per kick return on each return. And Justin Tucker, 3 for 3 in field goals and kicked his longest, a 52-yard field goal. So Justin Tucker certainly having something to prove after a disappointing 2015 season, where he certainly didn't equal his career average in field goal percentage or 50-yard field goals kicked. So, yep, we now move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who right now, Ray, are 0-2 and in third place in the AFC South. And this game, week 3, is at home in Jacksonville. And when you talk about all the aspirations and all the goals that were set by Jacksonville sports outlets, the fans themselves, and pretty much analysts around the NFL, they looked at Jacksonville to be on the same par as the Oakland Raiders, who were saying they have a young quarterback, they have young running back, they have young receivers, they have a dynamic offense. This team is going to contend. Right now, Ray, they are not contending. They are on the verge of being written off early in the season at 0-2.
Yep. This could be a trap game, though, Josh.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
No, we said last week that they would blow them out.
Yeah.
And it almost was the opposite.
It was almost the opposite, indeed. Here's a few things to learn about Jacksonville real quick. Blake Bortles on the year has 649 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 81.2 passer rating. T.J. Yeldon has 67 yards rushing, averaging 2.4 yards a carry. So their running game isn't up to snuff early in the year. Allen Hurns, their leading receiver, has 139 receiving yards. Also, Julius Thomas has a receiving touchdown. And Corey Grant and Mercedes Lewis each have a receiving touchdown. So Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, who were their top receivers last year, no passing touchdowns given to them just yet. So, week 3, the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. A game that harbors a lot of ill memories for Baltimore Ravens fans, because you remember last year at M&T Bank Stadium, the Baltimore Ravens played the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that the Ravens should have had wrapped up, especially the defense in the fourth quarter with the clock winding down. And then, of course, Elvis Dumervil with an infamous roughing the passer penalty. And it all ends in a game-winning field goal for Jacksonville, and then everyone gets mad. Ray, are we going to see anything that resembles close to that, or are the Baltimore Ravens going to play in an entirely different game of football?
That's a different team from last year. They lost a lot of games that they should have won that they were in just about throughout the beginning of the season. Then near the end, they got blown out many, many, many times. But this year, I would see them going into Jacksonville with a loss.
So you think they're due for a loss, that Jacksonville's going to wake up and ignite that offense?
I believe so, because a lot of people believe Jacksonville to be a team to beat this year for the first time since the Mark Brunell era and Jimmy Smith.
Well, I guess if somebody has to do the tiebreaker, because you and I can't be going 14-2 or 16-0 during the season, so I'm going to have to be the tiebreaker. I actually see this being an offensive shootout kind of game. I don't think that neither defense is going to step up to the plate when it matters. I think any team that has the ball last is going to be the team that wins. I see this going 34-31 Ravens, and it's going to be a Justin Tucker game-winning field goal. Just like last week where Justin Tucker was the benefactor in the Browns win, he could be the deciding factor in a potential Jacksonville Jaguars win.
And I had it 15-10, so that's going to be kind of a boring game to watch, so to speak. And as of right now, the Ravens are favored at -1, so it could go either way for them between the Ravens and the Jaguars. When we close the show, we just want to give our condolences to the Ravens organization and staff for losing one Clarence Brooks, longest tenured coach on the Ravens staff, 11 years. He's been with the team since 2005, joined as a defensive line coach, worked with Haloti Ngata and many others. Passed away on Saturday at the age of 65 due to esophageal cancer, and our hearts are with his family and the Ravens as well.